Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. It's a nutritious smoothie of creamy, fresh yogurt, vanilla protein powder, and a mushy banana for your mind. Drink it all down. It's nummy. I want vanilla. I want vanilla. Here comes Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the program. Chris Himes, I'd like to welcome you to the program.
Thank you.
Why are you on the set? Oh, wait a minute. You're the producer.
It's true. I'm the producer. I came on the set. You know, the security is tight in this building. So
yeah.
If we want to have,
you snuck through.
Yeah, and if we want to have any sort of like on set, sort of events, I have to do those things.
So. You have to do them.
Right.
You have to be the man,
right.
Johnny on the spot. Well, listen. I want to talk about a couple of things. First of all, I want to talk about my new book called Religionless Christianity. Ding. It's always exciting when a book comes out. Writing books is hard. And a lot of times people say, tell me, what's the writing process? It's not fun.
Yeah.
If you're having fun, it's not that good what you're writing. And actually, that's not a fact, but writing is hard. So when a book arrives and it's an actual book, there's tremendous pride because it represents all this work you've done.
Right.
And when people say to me,
it's kind of like when the baby comes out. It's like, oh, there it is.
Kinda. when
cut the cord.
When people
what's its name?
Say to me, hey Eric,
yeah.
What's the book about? The new book, Religionless Christianity.
Yeah.
I realize like I'm going to be speaking, around the country for the next months or year on the subject of this book, and it's directly tied to my previous book, Letter to the American Church.
Mm-hmm.
So before you read this book, I would read Letter to the American Church, honestly, because I think – well, because this is the sequel to
it's
that.
It's a companion.
So I want to say that.
Yeah.
And all of my books can be found at mystore.com. If you use the code ERIC, you get pretty terrific prices, mystore.com. All of my books, but not the new one, this book, you have to go to SocratesInTheCity.com to get a copy of this or to get a signed copy of this. Go to Socrates in the City. I mean, you can get it other places, but I'm recommending SocratesInTheCity.com. You can get signed copies of this book at SocratesInTheCity.com, but you can get all my other books at MyStore.com. And what do all these things have in common? I'm going to tell you. Cancel culture.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, cancel culture. Mike Lindell has been dramatically canceled, so we want to support him just because of that. Not because he makes great products, although he does, but just for the fact that he has been so vilified and so demonized and so canceled, we should support him. So go to mypillow.com, mystore.com, and use the code ERIC. That helps support this program. We need your support. But the reason I bring up cancel culture is because when people say, hey, what's the book about? Part of what this book is about is chapter 6, The Spirit Behind Cancel Culture. I talk about how it works and the spirit behind it. Chapter 7, Further Thoughts on Cancel Culture.
You know, we didn't talk when you wrote the book, but when I think of cancel culture, for some reason my brain pulls up the Family Feud X sound, that's like when I think it's like kind of rude.
Yeah.
It's sort of a big red X and,
which actually lets us bring up something that's kind of funny, kind of not funny. Folks, are you ready for this? In the mail, like we're not making this up. This when I saw this, I said, we are talking about this on the air. Chris didn't want to talk about it on the air, but I want to talk about it on the air. This is not a joke, okay?
Yeah.
This program, the Eric Metaxas Show, we had a YouTube channel.
It's true.
And it was just going crazy. We had 200,000 subscribers, and it was going like crazy, and all kinds of people would say, oh, I watch your program on YouTube.
It got really hot around the election, 2020, We were having people. Everybody was trying to figure out what happened. We all knew in our gut that something strange had
creepy
happened.
Creepy and evil had happened.
We didn't know.
Not to imply that Joe Biden is animated by satanic forces.
Or healing.
I don't want to imply it. I want to be explicit about it. But the fact of the matter is that everything that was happening back then
was confusing,
and we were naively trying to process it. So we would occasionally have guests on to talk about various aspects of what looked like election fraud, what looked like the vaccines. It was kind of getting creepy. Vaccine mandates. You can't leave your home. You can't eat in a restaurant. All this creepy stuff. So we talked about it sometimes, right?
Yeah.
And that's when YouTube started giving us these like strikes, don't talk about that. You can't talk about that. You're in big trouble now. And we thought, well, that's weird. But we kind of wanted to play ball. We didn't want to get canceled totally off of YouTube. So we're like, okay, I guess we won't post those things on YouTube. Seems weird, but we'll go along. Well, the folks at YouTube were so evil, they didn't care.
Well, all it takes is one person, I will say, over there just decides they don't like you. It doesn't,
Well, no, clearly someone there had it out for us.
Right.
And one day, it was a day before we were going to be cleared of the two strikes.
Yeah. One of the strikes was going to drop off.
2 months.
No, it was like 6 months.
Found an interview that I had done with Naomi Wolf.
That's right.
And said, oh, evil interview. You talked about the truth. Not permitted on YouTube.
Nine.
And they gave us a third strike, and they wiped our YouTube channel off totally.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, that, again, you kind of think, that's really sick. Why would they do that? That's so sick. So, well, we had no choice. You know, you try to appeal, you try to whatever. Again, this is the spirit behind cancel culture, which we'll be talking about more. But I want to be clear that we were stunned. And we talk about a financial hit, a huge, huge issue, okay? So if at some point, because we do the program on TBN, whatever, we decide, well, I guess we'll start another YouTube channel, whatever. And TBN has done an amazing
job. Yeah,
they're
very talented.
They are great. And so they've created
this YouTube channel. They don't put everything up there, but...
And a couple of days ago, we get here to the studio, and we get a box from YouTube. What's this? I got one. Chris got one. Hey, what's this? Let's open it up.
Yeah.
And probably anthrax. Oh, no. Oh,
yeah,
no. It's an award.
It's an award.
It says, congratulations on your 100,000th subscriber on your YouTube channel. And look, they gave us a little award for not speaking too much truth to get in trouble with the YouTube censors. So we now have awards presented to Eric Metaxas on TBN for passing 100,000 subscribers.
It's a little bit like getting a Valentine's Day card from the lady who ran you over with her car. You know what I mean? It's kind of...
Yeah, a little bit.
But my 13-year-old is going to love it. So.
Yeah, but I mean, so, and it's signed Neil Mohan, YouTube CEO. Neil, do you realize, he probably doesn't have any idea.
No, it's a real,
do you realize that a couple of years ago, YouTube canceled, we had well over 200,000 subscribers. We didn't get any letter back then or any award. Oh, isn't that a handsome award? I got to tell you, Neil Mohan, it's with mixed feelings that I accept this award because... It breaks my heart what happened in this country, and it breaks my heart that folks like the folks at YouTube, they haven't reckoned with what they did. And so you give it an award like this, and it's a little weird. I'm just being honest, because I had well over 200,000 subscribers. I know that we didn't do anything wrong on the program,
well,
but they were so...
Yeah, it was flagged for, like, misinformation things that now, in hindsight, it's like, actually, that was some of that stuff was certainly accurate.
Turns out...
Yeah.
It wasn't misinformation. It turns out it was true.
It was true. Yeah.
Who knew?
We didn't.
Who knew at the time? Zeke Heil.
Yeah.
Zeke Heil, who knew it would lead to the death camps? We didn't know. We're sorry.
We got a plaque, though.
It is with mixed feelings that Little Feather says, I cannot accept this award on behalf of Marlon Brando because of the way you treated my people and me in the past. So I just thought we have to mention this because there's something a little sick about sending us this award for getting 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. It's kind of like Chairman Mao giving you award for not, cursing the Communist Revolution. It's just bizarre. And I thought we've got to talk about this. And if you read my book, Religionless Christianity, I do talk about the spirit behind cancel culture. I probably mentioned YouTube in here because, unfortunately, they were a part of what happened in this country and what's still happening in this country. And on that cheerful note, don't forget to go to mystore.com, mypillow.com. Use the code Eric. Don't forget to SocratesandCity.com. It's important. We need your help.
Remember as a kid, your parents and grandparents making you try all the vegetables on your plate, or when they coaxed you to eat fruit instead of sweets? That's because they knew what was good for you, and it's truer today than ever before. You need to eat your fruits and veggies. There's no substitute for a healthy diet, but there is balance of nature. Their products are gluten-free and non-GMO, and they contain no added sugars or synthetics. If you're looking for something to make you feel better naturally, you should definitely try Balance of Nature today. Eat your fruits and veggies every single day with Balance of Nature. I started taking Balance of Nature the day I decided I was ready to feel better. Are you ready to start? Whether you order online or call them direct, you must use the promo code ERIC to get the special offer of 35% off. Call them at 800-2468-751 and use discount code ERIC, or order online at balanceofnature.com. Use discount code ERIC to get 35% off. I'll say it again, 800-2468-751. Use discount code ERIC, or order online at balanceofnature.com. Use discount code ERIC to get 35% off.
Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. In a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. You'll see transparent pricing on each coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. This new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. You're going to love this free new tool they've added, legacypminvestments.com. legacypminvestments.com. Check it out.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
We're experiencing instability at every level. Our government lacks leadership, and Bidenomics has been a disaster. The economy is in a fragile state. Inflation has been a consistent issue. High interest rates have put significant pressure on the real estate market. There have been major bank failures, and many analysts say a stock market correction is likely overdue. We have global conflicts in Europe and the Middle East that have the potential to spread, but gold has soared to record highs even amidst the tensions. There are so many reasons that Americans should consider investments in gold and silver, and Legacy Precious Metals is the gold standard. I love Legacy Precious Metals because of their zero-hassle, education-first approach. They can help you roll your traditional IRA into a gold IRA or ship metals directly to your house. Go to legacypminvestments.com to download their free gold investing guide. I've read it, and there's so much valuable information there. Friends, now is not the time to roll the dice with your hard-earned money. Find out about the growth potential that gold offers you. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today and tell them I sent you. Folks, if you know me and my story, you know how excited I am to talk to the guest I have on right now. My guest is someone who is 91 years old and experienced the Holocaust as a German Jew. It is my honor to have on Jack Werfel. And the book is called My Two Lives. Jack, it's just a great joy for me and a privilege to speak with you. Thanks for coming on the program.
Thank you for having me.
Well, listen, your story, I mean, my mom is 89. She lived through this period. She did not, however, go through what you went through as a Jew in Germany under the Nazis. You are 91 years old. What made you wait till now to tell your story in a book?
Well, Eric, people have asked me for years and years, would I write a book about my experience, because it's a bit different than most people here. And I've always told them that, you know, there are thousands of other people who experienced very, very similar lives as I did in Germany. And as one of those, I'm really not a book writer, you know, that really wasn't my thing. And my 2.5 months ago, my daughter, Dana, and her husband, Tom, sat me down and said, Dad, you've got to write that book now. We want our children, our grandchildren, their grandchildren, their, and so on and so on, always to know where we come from, what our family is all about, where we lived, where you came from, how you came to the United States, and so on. Well, my daughter Dana is the only person in the world probably I can't say no to. So I finally said, okay, I'll try it, but I'm not a writer. I have never written a book, but I'll try it.
Well, so, now you've written a book, so I think you've disproved your thesis. So it's wonderful that you've done so, and this is why I think fathers need daughters. It's a wonderful thing because you can't say no, and I'm glad you didn't say no. The book, which is a very new book, is called My Two Lives. And again, you experienced the Holocaust. It's hard for us to believe that there are people alive today who have lived through that hell and are living through what we're seeing now with October 7th and the satanic evil of those who hate the Jews, who want to kill the Jews. And it is satanic. I want to ask you, what was it like, in the best of your own words, and I know you say it in the book, but to be a Jew in Hitler's Germany, what part of Germany did you live in, and how did this manifest itself in your childhood?
Yeah, originally, actually, my family is from Austria. My father is from Vienna. He was Catholic, and he married my mother, who is Jewish and lived in Germany. So I met my mother actually as the most of the time that I spent with her, except the first 3 or 4 years we spent in Germany.
So of course, you know, we have to, if there are young people listening and they don't understand, the Nazis were the definition of racists. They don't care what you believe. They only cared about, where are you from? What's your blood? And if you have Jewish blood, you're a Jew. You could be a Jew who believes in the Christian God, who worships in a Christian church. They only care about what's racial. They only care about Jewish blood. And of course, in my book on Bonhoeffer, I talk about Bonhoeffer's best friend was ethnically Jewish, but he was ordained as a pastor. Of course, the Nazis don't care what you believe. They only care about, are you ethnically Jewish? And if you are, you are their enemy. And so you're a boy growing up in this world. When did you first notice that something is going wrong? At what age were you?
I was probably about 4 or 5 years old. I can remember it that far back.
So, and what did you notice?
Well, my father worked for President Schuschnigg in Austria.
Your father worked for the president of Austria? Holy cow.
Yes.
Wow. Tell me the name of the president of Austria at that time.
Schuschnigg.
And this is before Dollfuss, is that right? No.
Yeah, well, that was just before the Anschluss, you know, before Hitler walked into Austria and made Austria part of Germany.
And that was 38?
Yeah.
Okay, so my goodness, your father worked for the president of Austria. My goodness. And so I'm fascinated that at such a young age, if you were born in, I guess you were born in 32?
Yes, that's correct.
If you're born in 32, so when you say you're 5 years old, 1937, it was already getting dangerous, very dangerous in 1937. So what did you see in your life? And I know it's all in the book. The book is called My Two Lives. But what did you see as a child? How did your parents deal with this?
Well, I heard my father say that Hitler was going to come into Austria, take over Austria, so that he felt that to keep my brother and myself safe, we should go to Berlin, where my grandparents lived. And at that time, Berlin was evidently a little safer than being in Austria where Hitler was walking in.
That's an unbelievable thing. I never would have guessed that. But, of course, your father was in the most elite circles possible, so he would be in a position to know. So he sent you and your brother to Berlin to live with your grandparents.
That's correct.
And your grandparents were his parents?
No, were her parents. My mother was Jewish.
Yes.
He was Catholic.
So he sent you to live with your Jewish grandparents?
I lived with my Jewish grandparents, who were my mother's parents.
Okay, in Berlin. So what happens at this point? Obviously, he didn't know where this would take you, but what was your experience?
Well, we moved to Berlin as children, my brother and I, to live with our grandparents. And sure enough, Hitler moved, of course, into Austria, which they called the Anschluss. And my father and President Schuschnigg, they were arrested, put on the same train, and they were both sent to a concentration camp, Sachsenhausen, which is exactly north of Berlin, just a few miles north of Berlin.
So Hitler put all his political enemies in concentration camps, so you didn't need to be Jewish. Your father was Catholic, and Schuschnigg, I don't believe, was Jewish.
Well, no, Schuschnigg was not Jewish.
Yeah.
He was a political enemy, just like my father was considered a political enemy. Now, what my father did and my mother, when we came to Berlin, they took us to a Catholic church and had my brother and myself baptized Catholic.
Yeah.
So whenever someone would ask us, what is your religion? What do you believe in? As little children, we would always say Catholic.
Yeah.
And so, that was one of the things that saved us.
So it's you say one of the things that saved you, but you ended up being sent to the death camps.
No, we were not.
You were not?
We were not sent to the death camp.
Because you said you were Catholic. So then what was your story? In other words, here you are living in Berlin. You have Jewish grandparents, but you have been baptized into the Catholic Church. And you're saying that this was the wisdom of your father and grandparents to protect you and your brother.
Yes, that's correct. Now, what happened while we were living there, things were getting hotter and hotter in Berlin. And more people disappeared. Several of my grandparents and my relatives disappeared. My uncles disappeared. My aunts disappeared. My kids our age disappeared. So my grandfather happened to know a camp in northern Germany on the North Sea called, the place was called Dangast. That's a little village there. And this lady, Irma Franzen Heinrichsdorf, ran this camp for maybe 30, 40 children. And my grandfather sent us there. Now, this lady was not Jewish. She was very German. She had two children. and the two children were both members of the Hitler Youth. So she said, if you live here, I suggest, she, by the way, this lady knew that we were Jewish.
Excuse me, Jack, we're going to go to a break. Folks, plenty more. I'm talking, my guest is Jack Werfel. The book is My Two Lives.
For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of this show, which is why I am proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military, veterans, and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Metaxas, patriotmobile.com/Metaxas, or call 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use the offer code Metaxas. Join me. Make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Metaxas.
Hey, this is Eric Metaxas. For years, I've told you about Nutramedix, a professional supplement brand trusted by doctors since 1993. Nutramedix offers a variety of health bundles. Whether you want to support your immune system, improve your sleep, promote joint comfort, or detoxification support, Nutramedix has a health bundle right for you. The best part about Nutramedix, every year they donate a minimum of 50% of their profits to Christian charities and missions. That's right, 50% of their profits. Nutramedix has a goal of surpassing $100 million in giving by 2030. Many of you take supplements already. Switch to Nutramedix. It's the highest quality, and they donate 50% of their profits. Get 15% off by using the code ERIC during checkout. Go to Nutramedix.com and search health bundles. Support your health while helping others in need. Go to Nutramedix. That's NutraMedix.com. Nutramedix.com. Use the code ERIC for 15% off. Again, Nutramedix, NutraMedix.com. Nutramedix.com. Use the code ERIC for 15% off. Welcome back, folks. I have the privilege of speaking with Jack Werfel, who's written a book, My Two Lives, about his experience as a Jew during the Holocaust in Germany. So, Jack, you said that your grandparents sent you to this camp, and you, even though you were ethnically Jewish, you'd been baptized as Catholics, you're trying to escape death, and you were put into the Hitler Youth, in a sense, to camouflage you, to make it look like you were on board with the Nazi thinking.
Yeah, for one thing, but also you have to remember that all boys and girls at that age, you had to be in the Hitler Youth. If you were not in the Hitler Youth, there was something wrong and they would come out and find out who the heck you are and why aren't you in the Hitler Youth. So this lady suggested we join with her children, and the other children join the Hitler Youth.
Were you old enough at that time to be opposed to Hitler internally in your mind? Were you aware of those kinds of things? How old were you when you were put into the Hitler Youth?
Well, I was about 7 to 8 years old at that time. And yes, we were very much aware of what was going on from my father, from my parents, from my mother, from the lady at the camp, and all the other children at the camp were in the Hitler Youth. So why wouldn't we be in Hitler Youth? They would question that, probably, you know?
My mother is 89, so she's 2 years younger than you, and I know she missed the Hitlerjugend for girls by 1 year. She's always said that to me, that if she was 1 year older, she would have been put into that. But so you and your brother, is your brother older or younger?
He's a year and a half older.
A year and a half older than you. So you are enrolled as Jews in the Hitler Youth, And were you afraid to speak? It seems to me that it would be a very difficult situation.
Well, it was difficult. It was very hard. My brother and I used to talk about it all the time, what we should do and what's best for us. It was a terrible situation, but we had no choice. So we would act like all the other kids and be part of the Hitler Youth.
And you say that you saw many of your neighbors, your Jewish neighbors, suddenly disappearing.
Yes. And children that I knew overnight, the next day they were gone. It was terrible. And we didn't really know where they were going. And they told us, well, they were going east. So their parents have another job. That's what the children were being told. Now, when we came to Berlin and my father was arrested, my mother went to Czechoslovakia to be in exile there. And she lived in Prague for, I think it was about 2 years, somewhere around there, until Hitler also came into Czechoslovakia. And then, of course, there he handled the Jews the same way he handled them in Germany and everywhere else.
So I have to say, you lost both of your parents murdered by the Nazis.
Yes.
Did you know at the time where your parents were? So here you and your brother are boys, little boys. Did you have an idea of where they were and what was happening?
Well, yeah, I remember getting a letter or two from my mother. I knew that she was in Prague. I knew that my father was in a concentration camp in Berlin. That I knew.
What happened after this? In other words, you were you're in Nazi Germany. Your boys, where did it go from there? I mean, as the war came, were you aware of where your parents were during the war?
Yes, there was a time my mother came back from Czechoslovakia, and she was very anxious to see us. And she called a lady at the camp and she said, I want my boys to come to Berlin just for a short period of time. So we went back to Berlin to live with her in a separate apartment.
What year was that, Jack?
I was about 10 years old then.
So this is during the war, your mother, who is Jewish, dared to go to Berlin.
Yeah, come back to Berlin. Yeah.
That's absolutely extraordinary. So in the middle of the war, your mother felt that it was okay to go to Berlin. That's extraordinary to hear.
She came back to Berlin and rented an apartment, and my brother and I went back to live with her for a short period of time. While we were there, we found out and we were told that my father and mother were still in contact through an SS officer at the camp. And what they were doing, they were exchanging letters. So my brother and I were on a mission one day to deliver a letter to this gentleman. Now, my mother told us exactly how to get there by subway. We had to transfer. And we met the gentleman who had a code word. We gave him the letter and he gave us a letter.
This is unbelievable. Forgive me. We're going to another break. I'm talking to Jack Vorfel. It's W-U-R-F-L. W-U-R-F-L. The book is My Two Lives. This is all in the book. We'll be right back. You might have heard Mike Lindell and MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. Yes, it's because of cancel culture. But as a result, they get to pass the savings on to you directly by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals.
towels, $25. Those six-pack towels, just $25. Brand new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. For the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping too. The amazing offer will not last long. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code ERIC, or call 800-978-3057. That's promo code ERIC, 800-978-3057, promo code ERIC, or go to MyPillow.com and use promo code ERIC. Welcome back. I'm talking to the author of My Two Lives, Jack Vorfel, who experienced the Holocaust and Nazi Germany as a Jewish boy. Jack, you're telling us an extraordinary story that in 1942, an SS guard at Sachsenhausen, I guess, was communicating, was a conduit so that your mother, your Jewish mother, could communicate with your father, who was a political prisoner of the Nazis. And you and your brother delivered a letter to this man. How extraordinary.
Yeah. He gave us a letter. We took it back home. As we got out of the subway and turned the corner to go into our house, we noticed that there were a number of automobiles from the Gestapo and SS in front of our apartment house. We had an apartment there. And we decided, carrying this letter, we better wait here and see what our mother tells us when they leave. So we waited there in the corner and we watched all this. And to our surprise, they came out and with my mother, put my mother in one of the Gestapo cars and took her away. My brother and I, we took that letter. We thought we best destroy the letter at this point. We went back down in the subway station, tore it up into 1,000 pieces so that no one would find it. And that was the story with my mother, and she was now arrested. And it took my brother and myself about 3 days to find out where in Berlin my mother was imprisoned, in which prison. And we found that out. And as kids, we walked into the prison as if we owned the prison and ran around. And we found our mother at her cell. And we went into our mother and said, "Mother, here we are." And she said, "Boys, be good, go to school, learn as much as you can, always. You know I will always love you. You will always love me, but leave this prison now, because if you don't, you're going to end up where I am right now. You don't want to be here." So my brother and I ran out of the prison, and as we got to the front gates, some officer had suspicion that what are these boys doing here, and grabbed us, and we tore ourselves loose and ran out into the street. They ran after us, but as 10-year-olds, we could run a little faster than they could, and we disappeared, and they couldn't find us. Now, my mother, before all of this happened, my mother said, "If anything ever happens while you live with me here in Berlin, here is the name of an attorney. You call him, tell him what happened to me, and he will take care of you and tell you what to do." And he did, and he told us to go back immediately to Dangast, to this lady, to this camp where we had lived before. And
so
that's what we did.
In 1942, you at 10 and your brother at 11 or 12 traveled by yourself to northern Germany to reunite with the woman who had been caring for you before your mother.
Yeah, that's correct. We went back by train.
This is unbelievable. This should be a movie, Jack. I think your family probably realizes this. What an extraordinary story to hear you telling this. Well, it's absolutely amazing that at this age you experienced this.
Yes.
Well,
yes, we did.
So you go back to this woman. What part of Germany was it again? Was it Pomerania? Where is it?
Well, it was called Dangast, and it's in northern Germany. It's called Friesland. It's right on the North Sea.
Okay.
Our camp was only one block from the beach.
Friesland. And so I imagine I know this area. And so what happened to you at this point? It's 1942. Your father is at Sachsenhausen. Your mother has been arrested by the Nazis. Were you in contact with them? Did you know what happened to them after that? When did you find out?
No. Found out a little later. In the meantime, we were still in the Hitler Youth. When we were 2 years above that, they were teaching us how to use simple weapons like hand grenades. We fired bazookas. We learned how to march. We learned had to learn how to say Heil Hitler and so on. We went to school in this little village, and the teacher, luckily, who was also an SS officer, but taught us every day, he knew very well what we call Tante Irma, Irma Franzenheimersdorf, the lady who ran the camp. And between the two of them, they knew who we were. And they every so often gave us advice. Now, we went to school every morning at 8 o'clock and learned the Hitler philosophy. We sang songs, German songs, about the danger of the Jews and kill the Jews and all these sort of things. And we had to sing along with everybody else. We had no choice. Because if we didn't, that would be the end of us. So now we had two friends in Dangast. The lady who ran camp as well as our teacher.
I mean, the fact that the teacher was in the SS is unbelievable. In other words, the idea that you have a teacher who's in the SS, who knew that you were Jews and that this teacher who was in the SS participated in protecting you. That's the kind of a story we don't often hear. It's an amazing thing.
Yeah. He would teach us 8 o'clock in the morning until 1 o'clock noon, and then he would go change into his black uniform, get on his motorcycle, and take off for his SS meetings. And we never knew where he was going, what they were doing, what he was doing, but he was always very good to us.
There's so much more to this story, folks. I'm talking to Jack Wurfel, W-U-R-F-L. The book is My Two Lives. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm talking to Jack Wurfel, W-U-R-F-L, who's written a book about growing up as a Jew during the Holocaust. It is an absolutely fascinating story. If you've been listening, you know that's true. The book is titled My Two Lives. So, Jack, it is extraordinary that here you are being protected by somebody in the SS. And this is just a lesson for all of us that things are not what they seem. There are people who are members of wicked organizations, corporations, you name it, who may not be on board with the philosophy. They are on the inside trying to do something. Did you know what happened to this SS member later on in life?
Yes, at the end of the war, he was arrested, of course, because he was SS. And about a year later, our Tante Irma, the lady who ran the camp, went to the prison camp and told them who this gentleman really was, that he was, yes, he was the teacher of the children there. He taught them, but he helped them, and they actually let him go out of prison much earlier than they normally would have.
So the Allies understood that this is not your typical SS member. So when you were during the war, still, while it looks like the Nazis may prevail, I know that in the end, that there were some 12-year-old boys. You were 12 at the end of the war, 13. That there were some 12 and 13-year-olds being, conscripted to help this failing war effort. I've seen the films of these kinds of things. What was happening in your life in 44 and 45? Did you have a sense that the Nazis are losing? Did you ever have a sense that you and your brother might be asked to fight in Hitler's army?
Yes, we were in what they call the Volkspolizei, which means Volkspolice. And at the end of the war, my brother and I and other children, we were all asked to stay in the fields outside of Dangast. So when the German army was retreating by the Allies, that we would then protect them and fight the Allies. You know, us as 12-year-old boys, we were supposed to protect the army, the German army that was going back. There's one thing I'd like to tell you that I haven't mentioned to you. My mother, at Christmas time, after my mother was arrested, she was taken to Auschwitz. And at Christmas time, Tante Irma, the lady who ran the home, she had almost become our second mother. That's the way we felt about her. She called us in at Christmas Day to tell us that she heard that my mother was killed in Auschwitz, that she was dead.
What year was that, Jack?
Yeah, this was about the year of 1945, I would say.
So this is after the war, Christmas 45, or this was 44 before the end of the war?
The war ended at 45.
45, yeah. We're going to go to a break. I want to keep talking to you. So, folks, I will continue my conversation, by God's grace, with Jack Vorfel. The book is My Two Lives.